Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Going to talk some Preds here to start off hour number three. Predators 5-2 winners last night in St. Louis, and now returning home. Three games this week, starting tomorrow night. And we will be giving away a couple of tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Hurricanes, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But Hurricanes on Wednesday, then the Leafs on Saturday, Rangers on Sunday. Preds have won 7 of 10, and I saw this from Alex Doherty this morning. Since November 26th, the Preds are tied for the second most wins in the NHL with teams like the Avalanche, the Wild, and the Hurricanes. They've been playing some of the best hockey in the NHL, but you also lost 11 of 13 right before this little run. It's a big hole to climb out of, but it's good to see that this team has found a little bit of a rhythm finally. And talking with Max Herz last week, he says that the camaraderie is there, and there's a drive, there's a want-to from this team to fight their way back from the slow start. It's going to take a lot, but there's still 50 games to go for this team to try and get themselves back into the hunt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest hockey savant, but like looking at the way they're playing, it's quicker. And also they're crashing the net a lot more. There's like a lot more screening, I guess is what it's called in hockey. But there's a lot more traffic in front of the net, which is creating more goal-scoring opportunities. And for me, like that's kind of what you want. You want more offense. And if you can just continue to press, there's going to be goals regardless.
Well, and they're scoring so much more. And a lot of it is against bad teams. Got to be qualified there where, you know, you score 7 goals against the Blues last week. You score 5 goals against them this week. You scored 5 against the Flames. They're not great teams that you're scoring against, but it's good that you're dominating the teams that are supposed to be at the bottom of the standings.
Right. That's the expectation. You got to beat those teams because if you don't, then you are...
You're with them.
Yeah, right. you're with them essentially. Yeah. So looking at their upcoming schedule, you got what? Toronto, you got the Rangers, and... Like, you look at Toronto, they're 33 points. I'm not trying to play the numbers game, but 33 points compared to 30 points, you're not too far off when it comes to stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, you think that you're pretty comparable when it comes to playing a team like that.
And long way to go, but they've got to be able to sustain this success. And 5100 on the text line brings up a point that I wanted to get to of, he says, good morning, about the Predators, I do not trust the team at all. I was hoping the team went on a little run so the Predators can get more in trade bait. But please do not let this team fool management again. Sell, sell, sell. And that's the question with this Preds team. Is it fool's gold that we're seeing right now? Is this just a little... is it okay to use the phrase, the dead cat bounce? Of like, is it bouncing back? And are they actually going to show progress the rest of the season? Or is it just one little stretch run and then they're going to fall back to the cellar? The good news is there's still time before the trade deadline. But we have seen it before, the run to the playoffs in 2023. Mm-hmm. Barry Trotz saw that and said, we can go all in. And it ended up backfiring and possibly setting this team back multiple years. Is this run the start of something that gets the Preds back into it that would stop them from selling off some of their more veteran assets? Or is it just a flash in the pan that they're not going to be able to sustain, and we'll be talking about this team as a seller at the end of the, heading into March?
I don't think it's fool's gold per se. Like, looking past the three games this week, you look at next week, obviously Minnesota's a tough team. You play St. Louis again, you take care of business there. Utah's been a pretty decent team this year. And then you go to Vegas, Seattle. It's that away trip that you, the true litmus test for me. Because if you can take care of business on the road, That's where you're going to find out if this team's legit or not.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the big breakthrough moment for this team. And maybe it was the shootout win against the Avs last week. They have won 2 out of 3. And going into Denver's never easy to beat Colorado. They lose that game 4-2. But they have had some marquee wins. I think this 3-game homestand is important.
Yeah.
If so, what, you got 6 points available. If you could get four points this week at home, I think shows me that at the very least this team is going to fight and claw their way back in. But and I don't want to let three games decide the season, but I think this three-game stretch could end up being a turning point for this team and for the fan base. I think a lot of the fan base is kind of similar to what the Titans are feeling right now of, what's the point of winning? This team isn't good enough as currently constructed to actually get to the playoffs, let alone make a run in the playoffs. Let's get a high draft pick, or at least put ourselves in a position in the lottery where we could get a high draft pick and try and get one of these generational prospects coming out. I'm forgetting the name of the big guy this year. There's like a, I don't know if he's Bedard or McDavid, but he's supposed to, Seneca?
Does that sound right? Yeah, sounds right.
Gavin McKenna. Gavin McKenna is the name that I'm thinking of. Yes.
Tomato.
I think Seneca already got drafted. Yeah. Yes, Gavin McKenna is the name. And it's like, I think a lot of Preds fans are just thinking, let's put ourselves in a position where if the ping pong balls go our way, we get that guy.
Yeah.
But this team has a right to try and play their way out of the draft pick conversation. And right now, they're doing their best at it. I think these next three games, if you get 4 points against Carolina, the Leafs, and the Rangers, I think that shows you that this team isn't just flash in the pan, 2 week stretch of good play, and they're going to revert back to their old ways, that they actually have turned a corner.
Yeah, and then when you go to that away trip starting December 23rd, if you can win at least four of those games out of the seven, that's kind of where you're looking at. Because look, minus Minnesota, you have St. Louis, Utah, Seattle, Calgary. Those four teams, to me, those are must-win games for the Nashville Predators, because those are teams that are comparable to the point standings, and if you can beat those teams, that's where you can kind of separate yourself from the bottom to top.
Well, and you look at the standings, and talking with Max last week, you make the point of, well, they're only 5 points back.
Right.
Doesn't seem like it's completely insurmountable to get up 5 points, but they are still in eighth place in the Central, and 5 points is a lot more daunting when you look and see, well, the Kraken are still in front of you. Even the Blues, after you destroy them twice in the last 5 days, they're still in front of you. Chicago has 32. Winnipeg, who, you know, they won the President's Trophy last year. Mm-hmm. Utah's got 35. San Jose's got 35. Like, it's not just 5 points. It's all the traffic in front of you that you've got to climb past, too. Long way to go. Again, we're not even to the midway point of the season yet, but this team has to have sustained success. You can't afford another stretch of 8 to 10 games where you're only coming up with 5 or 6 total points. You've got to be able to beat the teams you're supposed to, like they have, and get a couple of these games. You know, you beat the Panthers in overtime. You beat the Avs in a shootout. You've got to be able to get those bonus points every once in a while against the really good teams while beating the teams that you should that are in that same tier as you in the standings.
Yeah, and like the San Jose Sharks, they currently hold that second spot in the wild card, that is, at 35 points. That's a team that, young talent, they can kind of string together some wins, but look, I don't think they'll be holding on to that position for long, in my opinion. I think that second spot for the wild card is wide open.
We'll see. And the Preds, again, back at home starting tomorrow. We'll give away some tickets to that game coming up, so don't go anywhere. We'll continue to talk Preds on the other side. And then with the Chiefs eliminated from the playoffs, makes the AFC very interesting. We'll get into that before the show wraps up as well. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, talking some Preds here in the final hour. And we got a chance for you to win some Preds tickets. Be caller number 4 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of Preds tickets to see them take on the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop again tomorrow night, Wednesday the 17th. Be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025 to win a pair of tickets, Preds and Canes tomorrow night. Talking about the Preds, and right now, I mentioned it, the Preds fan base, it feels like a lot like the Titans fan base. It's just early on in the season of, let's focus on rebuilding, get a good draft pick, and build around the young core, because clearly the older guys, the veterans that you brought in, are not working out. And it's funny, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Optimistic Joe, fitting name here, says, we are looking at mediocrity if we battle to make the playoffs. We need to blow it up and suffer the consequences that come with it. To get to the next level, we need elite young talent. May the smoke be with you. Joe, Optimistic Joe on the text line. I'm not sure who gave him that name. I think that's the sentiment around a lot of the Preds fan base. And I get it. This is a team that has been outside of the cup run, and, you know, winning the President's Trophy the next year, they've been kind of stuck in the murky middle of the NHL. You're good enough to sneak into the playoffs about every other year, maybe two out of every 3 years, but you're never getting that high enough draft pick to get a game-changing player. And you're hoping that Brady Martin can end up being a guy like that.
Right.
And he showed some flashes when he was up, especially during training camp. Even making the roster is a big deal for Brady Martin. But is Brady Martin going to be that top-line center that you really need if you're going to go win a Stanley Cup? I don't know. And the most surefire way to do that is to pick first, pick second, pick third in the draft, which is something the Preds just have not done.
Yeah, like to the texture's point there, Optimistic Joe, I'm still on the optimistic side. I know that's the name that's tied to that, but I'm still on the glass half full spectrum of all this, because yeah, look, there are some young pieces on this Preds roster right now that you can actually rally around and currently win. Prime example, Reed Schaefer, a guy that continues to go day in and day out and continue to work hard and has three goals on the season.
Scored from way downtown last night.
Yeah, like, talk about a guy that just has that grit and effort. Like, I believe Ozzie Wisebite's still hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it seems like he will be out for a while.
Yeah, that guy to me reminds me so much of the good days of the Preds with, like, Jordan Tutu and Darcy Hordichuk, because those were grit and grind guys that would just go after everybody when the play wasn't going on, or it was. It would just create a burst of energy. And that's kind of what this team needs. It just needs a burst of energy. And Michael McCarron does that as well. And they just have to complement that when you have players out.
I do want to talk with Max when he comes on Friday about Michael Bunting, because he seems like he's been kind of an unsung hero for this team, too. He scored last night. A guy that, when they made that trade last year at the deadline, there was a lot of question marks about that. And on that, the loud line, the third line, I think he's been really solid and been what this team needs out of him, playing in front of the net. And it's one of those moves, like, Barry Trotz has had his flaws, for sure. And everybody's going to point to the 4th of July 2 years ago, where it looked like the Preds won free agency, they won the offseason, and clearly those moves have not panned out, and now you're stuck with the contracts. But there's been some moves on the other end of the spectrum that were widely not taken to be great from Barry Trotz that have actually turned out to be okay. So I do want to ask Max about Michael Bunting and the impact he's had, because we got to speak with him on the show during training camp over at Fordyce Bellevue, and just seemed like a great guy, a good locker room fit, and he's been bringing it on the ice too.
Let's go Bunting mental, folks. I mean, that's a guy to rally around. It really is. Look, and to Max's point that you mentioned earlier on in the last segment, that there is a buy-in from this team. There is a true core, I guess, feeling that this team can really go after.
Yeah.
And I do too. I have that feeling as well. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, we're with the Preds, whatever. I genuinely feel that way. Like, there were a couple weeks ago, or it might have been last week, one of the shows, I was talking to somebody, either it was here or somewhere else. I'm like, I don't know about the Preds. I'm like, dude, this team has some young core pieces to really rally around. You can't just neglect that. I feel like a lot of people are just so gung-ho about looking at the future and not worrying about the now. Live in the present. See what you got in front of you, because you got some good pieces.
Yeah, and Max, I thought that was the most important thing Max said when he was on last Friday, was there's just a different vibe around this team. These guys really enjoy being around each other, and they're playing for each other. And that may not mean you're going to make the playoffs, but I think it at least shows you that this team isn't going to just lay down the rest of the way. And it's so tough, and I understand. I have not been a lifelong Preds fan. You know, I've adopted the team since moving here. But it's so tough for me in hockey season when you look at the schedule and you say there's 50 games to go and you're already in draft mode. 50. Like, I get it at the NFL level sometimes when for the Titans this year. You were horrible last year. You start 1-5 this year, 6 games in.
You know.
I get it. It's like there's 11 games left. You can go into, all right, where are we going to be drafting? That I understand. But, man, like the same percentage of the way through the season in hockey with 50 games to go, I don't get how you can be in tank mode.
And you're only 5 points out from a wild card spot.
It sounds easier than it is, obviously.
Right. A little bit of fool's gold.
You've got to play really well to make up 5 points in the standings.
Yeah.
But 50 games, it just gives me a little bit of optimism, a little bit of hope that if this team keeps this trend going, they continue to play the way they have. I mean, they're putting the puck in the net, which that was the biggest thing with this Preds team early on in the year. Not only were they losing, they were kind of boring, too. They weren't scoring. There wasn't a whole lot of storylines that you could look at and say, man, at least that's going for us. But I think you're starting to see it. You mentioned Reed Schaefer. He's been great. Scored his first NHL goal, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tonight. And he's scored 2 more since then. Matthew Wood's been great. I think there is at least something to rally around now with the Preds because they are playing hockey that is much more fun to watch than it was early on in the year.
Yeah, and we're kind of seeing a little bit more from Steven Stamkos, who obviously having his, 4-goal night the other night. And the reason why I bring that up is that, and I mentioned earlier about crashing the net and so forth, I believe it was Alex Doherty's article a couple weeks back when he interviewed Barry Trotz, and he wanted more out of Stamkos. And I think, don't quote me on it, but I believe it was mentioned in there about how he wanted to see more out of Stamkos, not just on one part of the ice, wanted to be a complete player. And, like, to me, having a guy like Stamkos just be a absolute force in front of the net and just cleaning up whatever ricochets off the goalie, to me, that's what has to happen more with this team.
Yeah, you need more out of the guys who you expect to score goals. Like, I know we talk about Wood and Schaefer and these young guys, but if this team is going to claw back and get into the playoff chase, it's got to be because of your veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Forsberg, Yossi, Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea, like, those guys have to be who you expected them to be when you signed them. And that might be asking a lot. I know Jonathan Marchessault has at least started to look a little bit better. He had a couple goals early on in the year, and then November was tough. I think he only had 1 goal all of November. But he's got 2 since then, 2 in December so far. So you need more from him. But it is good to see Steven Stamkos becoming a goal scorer again. I mean, it was tough when it's just like the puck just wasn't getting to him in high danger spots.
He would have a beautiful shot on net, or not on net, but it hit the post, and you're just thinking, God, that was just only a small piece away from going the other way.
Justin from Greenbrier on the text line says, I don't want the Preds to be in loser mode. I know us as fans of this team are tired of mediocrity, but I'm also tired of bad sports being played in town. And I think that's fair. I get that in pretty much all sports, you got to take a step back before you take a step forward.
Sure.
That's how sports are built. The bad teams get the best players because they're built for parity. But it's also it's tough to watch bad sports and hope that your team's going to make the right decisions with those assets they get for being bad and eventually be good again. And with the way the Titans and Preds have played the last 2 years, it's been a tough time to be a Nashville sports fan. And I know I always have to mention Nashville SC because we get we get Nashville SC fans. They had a great year this year.
Sure.
But the two teams that fans care about the most, again, no offense to Nashville SC.
Drives at your drums.
Right.
Yeah.
Preds, Titans have just been so bad basically since the Preds went to the playoffs in 2023. One of those teams actually showing some fight and getting back into the playoff chase, I think would be great for this city. Because there is a void that, especially now Vanderbilt football, college football in general is wrapping up. There's a void in this city of a team that fans want to root for. And the Preds have an opportunity to grasp that.
Yeah, look, I'm born and raised in Asheville. That 2017 run, the way downtown was just flooded with gold. Again, to that texture that just said about, you know, looking forward to the future, you have the pieces here. Just look at it from an optimistic mindset. Don't be negative about it. 7 of the last 10 have been wins for this team.
Yeah.
They can continue that streak. It doesn't have to be all losing out the rest of the way. Like you said, 50 games, 5 points, it's easier said than done. But there is a lot of good things for this team right now that you just have to see.
And I want to see the Preds. I know they went to the playoffs 2 years ago, but right. I want to see a playoff run here. Because I think football is different. Like NFL football, everybody supports their teams year-round for football. Sure. The NFL is king. I think cities rally around their hockey and their baseball teams more than anything. Mm-hmm. When your hockey and baseball teams are good, that's when you get parties in the streets that go on for miles. And the city is just buzzing about hockey and baseball during the playoffs. I'm excited to see a Preds playoff run. Again, I don't think it's going to happen this year with the way that they started, but I want to see this team build back to being a contender because this city does love its hockey.
If this team can somehow find their way into a playoff spot, I feel like it's the Georgia Bulldogs. The comparison I'm about to make is that once you get to meaningful hockey, this team is different. Right. That's what I think.
And they've got guys who have been there before, mm-hmm. which that may mean less than I would guess it does, but you've got Ryan O'Reilly. You've got Steven Stamkos. You've got Jonathan Marchessault. So all those guys, are they all Conn Smythe winners at one point?
Double check you.
I mean, at the very least, they've all won Stanley Cups. I know Ryan O'Reilly won the Conn Smythe. I want to say Marchie did too. I'm not 100% sure though. Caleb says, you had to be there to truly understand how downtown was during CMA Fest and then the home finals game for the Preds at the same time. Yeah, I remember
that
watching,
was a wild day.
I remember watching that run on TV because, you know, as a Titans fan growing up, you paid attention. And I remember seeing like LaJuan and Quentin Spain in the, you know, drinking out of the catfish and all that stuff. Like it looked like a blast and I'm excited. What's the Michael Scott? I love inside jokes. I'd love to be a part of one one day. That's kind of how I feel about the Preds playoff runs. It's like now that I've moved here. Like, I want to see that. I want to be a part of it. I'm excited to see that for the Preds, hopefully in the near future.
So, Stamkos, not a Conn Smythe winner.
Okay, but back-to-back Stanley Cup winner.
Correct.
Captain of a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. Correct. But you've got guys with the experience. If they get in the dance, I don't think they'd be an easy out. And hockey, just like baseball, one of those sports where you get in the dance, you got a chance. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk some more football to wrap up the show in the final couple of segments. The AFC playoffs will not have the Kansas City Chiefs in it for the first time since 2014. We'll dive into it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Couple days early here, Parker.
I just needed a boost of energy, not going to lie.
If TD is listening, you might get jealous. This is supposed to be our song.
Don't worry, it's playing again on Thursday.
Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Couple more segments on this Tuesday. Chase and Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. Wanted to get into the AFC playoffs because it is going to look very different. I saw this tweet the other day after the Chiefs were officially eliminated. This is the first time since 1998 that there will be an AFC playoffs without Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Patrick Mahomes. One of those three has been in every AFC playoffs for the last 27 seasons.
As long as I've been alive.
I have not been alive to see a playoff without all three of them. This will be the first.
That's crazy. I mean, this has to be the year for Josh Allen, right?
If it's not, they've got to change something. And it's not Josh Allen, right? Like, Josh Allen, they've staked their franchise to him. He is the franchise quarterback, and deservingly so. MVP last year. He's in the conversation again this year.
Secondary's old.
But I think you start asking the Sean McDermott question if they don't win it this year.
Yeah.
Because you look around the AFC, and they're going to have to go on the road, most likely. They did save their chance to win the AFC East with that win in Foxborough on Sunday. But still, a game back of the Patriots. They have to make up some ground. Likely going to be going on the road. But do I believe in the Patriots and a second-year quarterback and Mike Vrabel to win against that experienced Josh Allen Bills team in the playoffs? I don't think so. Do you believe in the Broncos? Like, that defense is really good, and they're going to make it tough, and defense travels in the playoffs, to use the old cliche. But do I trust Bo Nix to go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen in the playoffs? If they don't win it this year, if they don't go to the Super Bowl this year, then yeah, I think you have to start asking the question of, do they have to blow it up around Josh Allen and rebuild?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, the whole Keon Coleman pick for them, it's slowly evolving into being a good pick, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was benched earlier this year, right?
Yeah, and look, to the point of if it's the Bills' year or not, time will tell. You mentioned the Patriots. I'm still high on them, even though they blew a 21-0 lead over the Bills. I think the Bills have every bit of the intangibles to win a Super Bowl, but I'm not gonna just glorify them yet to be Super Bowl, you know, finalist.
Yeah, I just look around the AFC and I just wonder, who do I trust in the playoffs? And I think the Bills are the only ones. Denver right now is the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
New England the two. Jacksonville the three. Pittsburgh is the four. Chargers at five. Buffalo 6. Houston the 7. So if those are your playoff teams, and the only other teams that have a chance to get in, Indy and Baltimore. If Baltimore gets in, you just never know. Lamar Jackson injuries, hasn't had a great year, but you never know with them. I would have trouble picking anybody to come out of the AFC other than Buffalo.
Yeah. Look, maybe Denver. Denver, I thought they were fool's gold. I really did. I thought
they just keep finding ways to win.
Yes.
They do. And Bo Nix, I think, is exactly what Sean Payton needs. You've got that defense, and Bo Nix is going to do enough on the offensive side to win games for you. Again, it's just the AFC has – it's always been – since I've been alive, it's always been a quarterback conference. And when I look at the quarterbacks, I like Drake May. I think Drake May is going to be a very good quarterback.
Yep.
This is his first playoff experience. I don't know if he's going to make a run and go to the Super Bowl. Trevor Lawrence – he's won one playoff game, and it took him throwing four picks in the first half and making a crazy comeback to do it. Justin Herbert has not proven he can win in the playoffs. The Steelers, whoever wins the AFC North, I don't know if I believe in them. Maybe the Ravens again. John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, those are guys who have been there before and made it to – Harbaugh's made it and won the Super Bowl. Jackson's been in the AFC Championship game. But when I look at it, I'd have trouble picking anybody at the Bills. And if they don't win it, I agree. I think that they have to start asking some serious questions.
Yeah. One team, you mentioned the Steelers, like that's a team to me that could be a dark horse to make a deep run in the playoffs. And the reason why I say that is because Aaron Rodgers, yes, everybody kind of glorifies him as like the vet quarterback that can do everything, whatever. But I think because the AFC is as wide open without a Mahomes, I think Aaron Rodgers has the same playing level as Josh Allen right now. I really do.
It's going to be really strange watching the playoffs, knowing that the Chiefs aren't in it, right? Because that's been the last 8 years since – because the AFC Championship has been in Arrowhead every year except for one since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Baltimore. The Chiefs ended up winning still on the road against the Ravens. They have been in every AFC championship. The last time that they lost in the AFC playoffs before the AFC championship was to the Titans when they beat them in Arrowhead, the Marcus Mariota self-touchdown pass game. So it's going to be strange watching like the AFC divisional round and not thinking about who's going to Arrowhead next week. For the Bills, it's going to be important to see if they can win that division. They've opened the door. They've got the Browns, the Eagles, and the Jets left. Eagles, that's not a gimme, but it's in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Can they win that one? The Patriots, this is the big game this week. They are at the Ravens. Mm-hmm. If they lose that game, the door swings wide open for the Bills to be able to come and take that division. And if the Bills are playing games at home throughout most of the playoffs, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. But if they have to play three straight road games to get there, that's when things get a little bit murky.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned the Bills and that scenario. I look at the NFC while you say that and say it's the Rams and the Bills. I think that's kind of your two front runners. Now, depending on Devontae Adams, if he gets back in the fold from his hamstring injury, I believe he's doubtful from what McVay said earlier this week. But it's a question mark for me if the Rams can kind of keep it all together without Devontae Adams. If not, then it's Seattle. That's the only other team, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Eagles, it's kind of the same thing as the Bills of, like, I trust them in the playoffs. They've proven they can win the playoffs. But, yeah, do I trust Caleb Williams? Same issue as Drake May. Team's been really good. Quarterback's been a lot better. But it's your first playoff experience. Are you going to go win three games in 3 weeks to go to the Super Bowl? Probably not. The NFC South, they're losing in their first game almost certainly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Seattle, San Francisco, it's – and then, you know, Detroit and Carolina, hanging on the outside. Carolina's not going to do anything, but Detroit, I think, could be interesting if they get in just because of the offensive firepower that they have. But the NFL in general, wide open. I think the Rams are probably the one team that stands out. Rams-Bills, I think, would be a really fun Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen. I would be locked in for that one.
I'm right there with you.
And it's just exciting that it's not going to be the Chiefs in the playoffs as they make their way to Nashville this week, eliminated from playoff contention for the first time since 2014. 8955, not happy with your take about Aaron Rodgers being able to play to the level of Josh Allen.
Well, what I meant was, you know, Rodgers is a game manager in today's day and age, and he knows how to milk the clock. We saw it last night versus Miami. I mean, that to me is the reason why Rodgers has the same, I guess, playing level to go to the Super Bowl as Josh Allen, the same odds, in my opinion. I think that's the way it is.
There's a chance they could play each other in Pittsburgh in the wild card. I guess we'll see then. My money would be on the reigning MVP, Josh Allen. But,
fair.
You know, that's why they play the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last segment coming up, last call for phones. If you have any thoughts, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. With the Chiefs being eliminated, that means a seventh quarterback will go to the Super Bowl since 2022 out of the AFC. There have only been six. I have a little fun fact about that. We'll get to it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe coming up right after us at noon. We were talking about the AFC playoffs, wide open. The Bills, they've got their easiest path to the Super Bowl that they've had. Joe Burrow's not in your way. Patrick Mahomes isn't in your way. Likely Lamar Jackson not going to be in your way. Josh Allen, go take your team to the Super Bowl and prove that you deserve to be among those elite guys. We'll see what happens. But with the Chiefs being eliminated, that means that a new quarterback out of the AFC will reach the Super Bowl. Since 2002, there have only been six quarterbacks to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That is still, I say it a lot, but it is the craziest thing. That's 24 years. You've had six quarterbacks represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Big Ben, and then one apiece from Joe Flacco and Joe Burrow. That's it. That is it that has represented the AFC in the Super Bowl since 2002. Do you know which team went in 2002 and who their head coach was?
2002, the Bucks?
No, out of the Raiders. NFC. Yes, it was the Bucks against the Raiders. Led by head coach
Bill Callahan.
Bill?
Yeah.
Of all people. Holy cow.
That's the last time that a quarterback not named Manning, Brady, Mahomes, Roethlisberger, Flacco, Burrow was in the Super Bowl.
Was that against John Gruden and Tampa
Bay? It was.
Yeah.
It was. So that was Gruden beating his former team.
I knew the NFC team. I just couldn't recall the AFC team.
Yes. Yeah. So 2002, it was the Raiders. That and Rich Gannon was the last quarterback outside of those six. And I guess you could make it even only four quarterbacks have represented the AFC in the Super Bowl over the last 22 years, with the exception of 1 year of Flacco and one of Burrow. It's been all Brady, Mahomes, Manning, and Big Ben went twice.
Look, I'm going to go back to what I said during the middle of summer. The NFL is hurting for quarterbacks in a roundabout way. Like, without those guys, I mean, sure, there is some good competition out there, but you don't have your leader of the pack anymore. It's all pretty even.
The quarterback talent has always just been so lopsided, and I'm sure as a Titans fan, and Titans fans out there are frustrated by this. It's like, why can't the generational quarterbacks ever end up in the NFC? Like the NFC, how many quarterbacks have gone to the Super Bowl in that time out of the NFC?
Probably more than seven.
Way more. I would guess close to 15?
Yeah.
Let me see. This will be nice and easy. So since 2002, again, there have been six quarterbacks to represent the AFC. In the NFC, you have had Jake Delhomme, Donovan McNabb, Matt Hasselbeck, Rex Grossman, Eli Manning, Kurt Warner, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, I guess that would be Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy. 19.
That is, whoa.
So we're talking about all these guys who go back consistently. Brady went 6 times out of the AFC.
That's mind-boggling.
Manning went 3 times, right?
Yeah.
No, 4. 4. He won against the Bears, lost to the Saints, lost to the Seahawks, beat the Panthers. So he went 4 times. Roethlisberger went twice, and Mahomes has now gone 5 times. Yep. So you've got all those guys repeating. The only guys who have gone multiple times out of the NFC in that span, Hurts has been twice, Wilson's been twice,
mm-hmm.
Manning's been twice. That's it. 3 guys have gone back multiple times, while the AFC is just loaded with these quarterbacks who dominate. And that's what's frustrating about the AFC. Being a fan of one of those teams that doesn't have the elite quarterback in the AFC, you just have to hope that you get lucky and either get one of those guys, Titans are hoping that with Cam Ward, or maybe a year like this where most of those guys somehow miss the playoffs.
Maybe this is the new trend of Josh Allen is the next guy on that list to make it just, what, 8?
It would be 7.
7, that's 20, yeah, 7.
So, and unless Jalen Hurts or Matthew Stafford goes back. So I guess we could get another repeat this year.
Yeah, but still, I'm just out of the AFC, though.
You'd still be 19 quarterbacks out of the NFC in the last 23 years, 6 for the AFC.
That it makes you wonder, is the AFC just that bad and you always have the same quarterback every year, or is it just the NFC's that wide
open? They've just had dominant quarterbacks. Like, even the guys that you look at that repeated, Eli Manning went twice. Yep. Was Eli Manning ever a top 5 quarterback in the NFL?
No.
Probably not. I think you could argue he was top 10 most of his career, but he was never top 5.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Russell Wilson, maybe for a second or two there.
In his heyday.
But are those 3 guys even in the same league as Brady, Manning, Mahomes? And that's the issue the AFC has run into, is you've gotten probably the 3 best quarterbacks of the last 25 years have all been in the AFC, and they've been consistently dominant. You've had dynasties. And then, of course, Manning went twice with 2 different teams.
Yeah.
So it is funny, though, when you look at the playoff picture, despite all of those quarterbacks being out, most of their teams are still in. The Broncos are going to be the 1 seed. The Patriots are probably going to be the 2 seed. The Steelers are currently winning their division. The Ravens could get in there. So you look around, it's like, yeah, we may get new quarterbacks, but it could just be the exact same team still going to the Super Bowl.
It's very possible. Hey, all I'm saying is don't count out Rodgers in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you are not getting good reaction to that on the text line. Chase from White Bluff says, Bills Super Bowl odds plus 850, Steelers plus 6,000. It ain't close.
Hey, I know it probably ain't close, but when you got a game manager in Rodgers, just never count him out. That's all I got to say.
Chase from White Bluff makes a good point that I guess if we have to mention all the quarterbacks from the NFC, Drew Brees needs to be in that conversation too. He was top 5 in the NFL for a very long time, but he got unlucky, awful defenses, and then no calls. Drew Brees definitely should have been to the Super Bowl twice if it wasn't for that DPI call.
Awful, awful call.
Yeah.
I was at my buddy Trey's house, and his dad, Mr. Vern, he can't
You were
watch.
At Trey's house?
Yeah, no, not that Trey, a different Trey. This is one of my best friends. I was at his house. We were eating some gumbo, and he ended up leaving. I was like, where are you going, Mr. Vern? He goes, I can't watch this. It was a Saints game. They were like, at the end, they had to kick the field goal to win it. He goes, I can't watch it.
Right.
Ever since that DPI call, I can't watch any games at the end of it.
Yeah, that's a very good point from Chase from White Bluff. Drew Brees was in the NFC, but he just didn't get enough help, I guess. He should have gone twice. That'll about wrap things up for us on this Tuesday. Dr. Crane, always a pleasure to have you on. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you. Always fun.
Leading right into Christmas next week. So we'll enjoy that. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Plenty to get to on this Tuesday. Keep it right here. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.